This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's summertime, 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 summertime. Well, shut them books and throw them away.
For you with the Jamies. Good morning. It's officially summer today. Did you know that? First full day. Yesterday was the 21st, and at some point during the day, it became summer. Today's our first full day, so the Jamies have celebrated with us. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you very, very much for joining us on this Monday morning, June 22nd. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Daniel Ortner of the Pacific Legal Foundation. The Supreme Court is very, very busy right now. All of their rulings are coming out. You know, they start out in October and they take cases. And then in June, they start issuing their decisions. So we're going to talk with Dan Ortner about one of the most significant school choice cases in decades. It's now before the Supreme Court. It's called Espinoza versus Montana. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that. And speaking of the court, is John Roberts turning liberal? I mean, the eyeball is on him. There's going to be an upcoming abortion decision that will really show, I guess you could say, the shape of his mast, or whatever they say about schooners, the shape of the jib, or the, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, stay tuned for that. And apparently it is statue-toppling time all across America. The latest to go, Teddy Roosevelt, Ulysses Grant, Christopher Columbus. We're going to talk about where all of this is leading us to. So I hope you'll stay tuned for it. And we have a good one, our ultimate top 10. We have the top 10 wealthiest country singers of all time. I mean, of all time. Let's see if you know who they are. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Got a call for an appointment, though, 727-733-3773. It's the best place you can go. Clean, great haircut, great price. 727-733-3773. Also, please remember, you can listen to us live, like you're doing right now, or you can listen to us on podcast. Thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows. Go to ourfreedomworks.com, hit the podcast button at the top. There you go. Anytime, day or night. It's a great way to go to sleep at night. Ed says it puts him to sleep. Takes care of his insomnia. Ourfreedomworks.com. Well, what is going on? It's kind of scary, isn't it? We've had the pandemic. Then we've had the demonstrations, and I don't know that this is even any less of a scary plane, the removal of all of these statues. North Carolina starting to remove all the Confederate statues in the state capitol. Now, they use public safety as the reason. Governor Roy Cooper has long backed the removal of these kinds of statues around Raleigh. He said now is the final time to act. He says monuments to white supremacy do not belong in places of allegiance, and it's past time that these painful memorials be moved in a legal and safe way. The law that the governor is referring to bars the removal of the memorials without permission of a state historical commission. But Cooper, who's a Democrat, by the way, said that the law creates an exception for public safety emergencies. Well, he's using that. He's hanging his hat on that thing. He wants to take these statues down. Now, they always say, well, we'll put them in museums. Well, what they want really to tell you is that they want to put them in a closet somewhere and out of the view of people. Apparently, you can't continue to celebrate history no matter what if you're of a certain political persuasion these days. Now, protesters in San Francisco on Friday toppled good old Ulysses Grant. I thought he was a Northern general. In fact, I know he was. He was also a president of our country. But nonetheless, they toppled him. About 400 people gathered around on Friday night around 8 o'clock to rope down the statue. No arrests were made. Now, Friday was Juneteenth, which, by the way, I never heard of until this year. But apparently it's been around a long time. It celebrates the end of slavery. It's a national celebration commemorating the last slaves being freed in Texas on June 19th, 1865. That was nearly 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation by Abraham Lincoln. And why are they taking down Grant? He was fighting on behalf of the North and against the South when it came to the slavery issue. Now, it says here, while Grant is widely celebrated as being one of the leading forces who helped the Union win, some historians say he had a complicated relationship with slavery, that he did, in fact, own a man named William Jones for about a year on the eve of the Civil War. So I guess if you come anywhere near that slavery issue, you're gone. So that takes care of Washington and Thomas Jefferson. We know about that, right? I guess their statues and portraits will have to be banned. How about Teddy Roosevelt? They found something wrong with Teddy Roosevelt in New York City. A prominent statue of Teddy Roosevelt is going to be removed from the entrance to the American Museum of Natural History. Apparently, it symbolizes colonial expansion and racial discrimination. The statue that has stood there since 1940 depicts Roosevelt on horseback with a Native American man and an African man standing next to him. The American Museum of Natural History, according to Mayor Bill de Blasio, the museum has asked to remove the Roosevelt statue because it explicitly depicts blacks and indigenous people as subjugated and racially inferior. I don't think Teddy Roosevelt ever felt that way, or at least he never vocalized that feeling. But I guess certain people think they can look inside somebody's soul and decide whether or not a person has prejudicial thoughts. In 2017, protesters splashed red liquid on Teddy's statue and published a statement calling for its removal as an emblem of patriarchy, white supremacy, and settler colonialism. So where's all that going? Huh? We're going to get rid of Washington, and, you know, Christopher Columbus is coming down, too. So I think Donald Trump should be happy, because you think most people believe in this? Of course they don't. It's going to inflame them and motivate them. And while the Democrats sit back and either participate or say nothing in this, the rest of America, I don't know about you, but every time I see something on Columbus or George Washington or Thomas Jefferson, and I see that happen, it gets me mad. I mean, just the natural anger. And I think most people feel that way. Anyway, we're going to change subjects, change partners here. We're going to take a little break And when we come back, we're going to talk with Daniel Ortner, and we'll talk about one of the most significant school choice cases in decades.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, first full day of summer. It's hot outside here. Very hot, typical in Florida, right? Delighted to have Daniel Ortner join us. He is an attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation, and we're going to talk about a case that may be one of the most important cases regarding school choice in decades. Daniel, welcome to Freedom Works. Tell us a little bit.
Thanks, Paul, for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. And we want to talk a little bit about this case. It is called Espinoza versus the Montana Department of Revenue. Dan, tell us why it is so important.
Yep, that's right. It's a, as you said, a pure school choice case. It could go to the Supreme Court any day now. No one knows exactly when decisions are going to come out, but it's the oldest argued case that still is outstanding. So watchers of the court are expecting it to come out today or later this week. It involves a question of whether school choice programs can exclude religious schools just because they're religious. In Montana, there was a tax credit program for parents that made donations to schools. They would receive dollar-for-dollar tax credit. The Montana court said, well, because that program could go to religious schools, and there's a provision in our state constitution called the Blaine Amendment that says no religious schools cannot receive funding, we're just going to get rid of the whole tax credit program. We're going to strike it all down. So no parents in Montana can now receive that credit. This case at the Supreme Court is saying that unjust, that violates the establishing clause of the U.S. Constitution, the free exercise clause, that violates the principle and potentially the equal protection clause. And that violates the principle that religious and non-religious schools and religious and non-religious parents and individuals need to be treated equally.
So is this right now, as it stands before the decision in the state of Montana, is there no tax credit scholarship program at
all?
Yeah,
right now there's no program. They struck down the whole program. They said, well, look, this program cannot be applied right now because of our provision in the Constitution, so we're going to strike the whole thing down.
It just boggles my mind that if a person is given, in this case, what amounts to a decision as to where his child or her child is going to go, and they get compensation to take them to that, if they decide that it's going to be a private religious school, that somehow this is going to be, I mean, there's no common sense to it. I mean, if you think about it,
No, I totally agree. The Supreme Court in the 90s and in the early 2000s decided the question of whether a state could get into religious schools, and they said decisively in a series of cases that yes, tuition tax credits, charters, you know, schools are constitutional, even if the parent has the choice to go to a religious school. So the question for the court now is, states required to include religious schools? Can they, but are they required to? And really, it's a question of school, as you said, choice that the parents have. You know, the parents ultimately know better for their children the best school to go is. And these programs that take away their choice harm parents, they harm individuals, they harm outcomes for students that are the most in need.
So you mentioned that the Supreme Court has currently got this decision. Apparently, they've made it already. It's just a matter now of when they are going to release it. I know there's a bunch of very important decisions coming out, as you well know, from the Supreme Court. Typically, they do come out at this time of the year. But so they table this entire tax credit program. Here in Florida, we have a similar program ongoing. They work it through the businesses. Businesses can take a tax deduction if the money is allowed to be used for voucher programs. And of course, the whole point of all of this is to give people, particularly those with limited income, the opportunity to get out of a bad public school that they are forced to go to otherwise and go to a school that might give them a better education. You would think everybody, Democrat, Republican, Independent, would be for that. But apparently that is not the case, right?
Right. And your religious schools are often chosen just because they're the best school. A lot of the people that choose them are not actually religious themselves. We, in Montana, in the a separate case of the Armstrong family who are in that position, they want to send their child to a high-quality Christian school in Montana, and they were able to get a tax credit to do so for a short while, and then they were told, no, this program is no longer available. So their child has lost choice. They're not religious themselves, or they want a good quality education for their children, their child. And that was really because of bigotry against religion. These provisions that in state constitutions have a root in the 19th century anti-Catholic bigotry that swept the country in the 1850s and 60s. That's really where these come from. This fear that if money goes to religion, it's going to take over, it's going to brainwash children. And that bigotry is just un-American. It's contrary to the Constitution's provisions protecting religion and protecting equality and law. And it really, as you said, harms parents, harms those that make choices for their children.
We're talking with Daniel Ortner. He is an attorney for the Pacific Legal Foundation, and they are a friend of the court. They are arguing that the court should hold that this program violates free exercise of religion, and that these programs, these tax credits, should be allowed for people that want to send their child to a private Catholic or Jewish or Christian school of any kind. Dan, you're talking about some of this, this, I guess you could call it discrimination against Catholics that went back into the 19th century. I believe that's the Blaine Amendment, right? Because we had the same had the same issue in Florida for a while, and people would hide behind the Blaine Amendment as a way of saying that these voucher programs should not be allowed. I want to get your comment on that.
Yeah, that's right. Blaine was a senator who wanted to run for president, and so he proposed a constitutional amendment that would bar funding to religious schools. He didn't get that amendment, fortunately, but in many of the states, they took his idea and ran with it and adopted these Blaine amendments, really because of racism and immigrants that were coming, and they were worried that they were going to be ignorant and uneducated, and religious schools would be brainwashing children, all kinds of stereotypes that are unfounded and un-American, ultimately.
Right.
Fortunately, as you said, a lot of states have gotten rid of their Blaine Amendments. New Mexico, for instance, recently, in a recent Supreme Court decision a couple of years ago, didn't get rid of theirs altogether, but they, in a similar school program rule, know that the Blaine Amendment is bigoted, it is contrary to our founding principles, and we're not going to apply it to a choice program.
Right.
But there really is a lot of hope that the court will, in this case, take a decisive stance. They know these provisions violate the U.S. Constitution. States cannot deny religion equal treatment. If you offer program to secular schools, you need to, and you should be able to, need to offer it to religious schools as well. Always, again, giving parents the choice. That's the key. You're not establishing a religion when you're giving parents the choice of where to go with your child. You're not propping up a particular faith. And giving parents the choice is consistent with the Constitution. And religious parents that choice just because you don't like religion is unconstitutional.
Do we have any idea how the Supreme Court will rule on this from some of the debate discussion that had gone on?
It seems like it's going to be a close case. Most court watchers are expecting a close decision, and most are expecting that the court will rule in favor of the schools and against the Blaine Amendments. They're not sure, no one's sure whether it would be a very narrow decision or a broader decision striking down these provisions nationwide. The most court watchers seem to are predicting, based on the argument and based on who's left to write opinions for the calendar and about other considerations, they're expecting that the parents and the program is going to win. The Blaine Amendments are going to be limited and struck down in some way.
Yeah. You know, it has always boggled my mind that people in, particularly those that are in inner cities and have, fewer resources, wouldn't want to jump on the bandwagon for these programs that allow them a choice and give them the cash that it would take to get their child into a good school.
Yep.
And yet, somehow, I do not sense, for instance, inner city rising up, they're rising up for other things these days, but they don't rise up for the voucher programs and the, these kinds of things. And Democrats do not, in these different cities. It always boggles my mind because I think everybody that would think about it for a moment or two would realize that this would help break the chain of poverty and get some of these people, out. Your thought on that?
Ultimately, there's a principle that parents know better than schools, than the government, what's best for their child. They should be able to make that decision. That principle to me is first of all, correct as a matter of data showing that school choice programs work. They increase graduation rates. They increase success among the least privileged students. And it's just a deeply American principle. But that we make the choices, not the government, ultimately, for what's best for us and for our children. So I am surprised that more people are not in favor of these kind of programs, or that more politicians are not in favor of them. Because when you look at parents, they are overwhelmingly in favor of these choice programs. They realize that they are going to help their children succeed. They know better than test scores. They know better than government bureaucrats. They know better than the government what is best for them, for their children.
Yeah, absolutely. And the hypocrisy of some of them that are rallying for the, fighting against these voucher programs. In the meantime, they're sending their kids to private schools because they can afford to, right? I mean, it goes all the way up to some presidents that have done that. Anyway, Daniel Ortner, a real pleasure to have you on again and talking about this. Gosh, so many important cases that are coming up. You guys must be being kept very busy, but I know we'll talk again.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. Daniel Ortner. All right. Let us take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the courts, specifically the abortion case that is before the court, and the question of whether or not John Roberts is turning himself into a liberal.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting,
beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the TAN Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. First full day of summer. Wow. Are you out and about? More and more people are doing so. By the way, you know, we're talking about all of these things that are going on in protesting, and now in Seattle, apparently somebody was shot inside that little CHOP zone, is it now being called, or CHAZ zone, whatever it's being called. Somebody killed, another one in critical condition. The police were not able to get into that little six square block area in downtown Seattle. And of course, this is going to lead to nothing but trouble. In the meantime, major cities in the U.S., reported bloody weekends amid increased calls for defunding of police. Look at Chicago. Over the weekend, at least 11 killed, 67 wounded. What? I mean, and that's very typical there. What is going on? Why is that not being covered? You know? Why isn't that kind of, and that's black-on-black crime virtually. The deaths there included a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old girl. These bullets go whizzing into the house from fights outside. The teenage girl was in her house. She was struck in the neck from the shot fired from the outside. Eight of those that were shot in Chicago were children and teens. Four of them died. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. Tragic. And, you know, this kind of thing goes on. Why? Where are the Democrats and the mayors of these cities? The same ones that are toppling statues right now, you know, of leaders of our country and presidents? Where are they when it comes to all of this inner city crime? Isn't that more important right now, of the deaths of those people? Apparently, they don't rate the attention or our tears or thoughts. And of course, what happened to George Floyd was horrible in Minneapolis. Everybody agreed. I've never heard one person say that wasn't a horrible thing. A horrible thing for that poor man. But then you look at all of these people dying in all of these major cities, all run by Democrats, every one of them. Every one. And nothing. Nothing at all. Hey, we got our buddy calling in from Rochester, New York. He's our eye in the northern sky. His name is Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, first of all, I hope you're doing well. Secondly, are things calm and quiet in Rochester?
Yes, they are. Good morning, everybody. Yes, they had a little protest from the Black Lives Matter this past Saturday.
You did?
A little bit. You know, it wasn't that big of a gathering, but... yeah, they did, mm-hmm. In one of the towns areas.
Now tell me, are you having any of your statues toppled in Rochester?
They did. They toppled Nathaniel Rochester, the founder of Rochester.
Did they really?
Yes, they did. They toppled his statue.
No kidding. Yes. Nathaniel Rochester.
Yes.
Now, what did Nathaniel Rochester do wrong?
He probably just standing in place, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they're toppling Teddy Roosevelt. They're getting rid of Teddy Roosevelt. They're getting rid of Christopher Columbus. They're getting rid of George Washington, Robert E. Lee, Thomas Jefferson. And now our buddy in Rochester. Is there no hope for us?
They're trying to erase the history of the United States, just like the Nazis did in 1933.
Yeah, there is a similarity.
Oh, very much of a similarity. The other day I was watching on the History Channel how Adolf Hitler, when he came to power in 1933, then in February and in March, they're doing all these protesting. I mean, they made him a chancellor, but he didn't have full powers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So all his people started rioting and protesting. They used all these, they used the scapegoats to get the people all riled up and everything like that.
Right.
And eventually, it just came to being. Just like, even though George Floyd, what happened to him was terrible. It never should have happened. And everybody agrees. Even my nephew, who's a state trooper, agreed with that. And, you know, the thing is, I think what's happened now is they've used this thing. It's been a perfect storm. We've had COVID-19. We had the impeachment of the president. We've had the Mueller report. All this stuff turning this country upside down. And this just was a perfect storm that they've used this as an accelerant to try to take over this country. I think what they're doing, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, are using this to get everybody going and just trying to take over this country.
Yeah. Even Abraham Lincoln said, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Right, and this is what they're doing. They're dividing this country more and more. I mean, what happened, and you had the Democrats dividing the country, you know, the Russian collusion, the this, that. The more the people start hearing this stuff, the more they get real angry and everything. And what they're doing is they're roiling up the people in our country.
Indeed.
This is what's going to happen, because 49% of the people in this country are really not happy with the way this country is. And 51%, we're happy with this country, but not now. You get that couple percent going and get them all together, they're dividing this country more and more and more.
Right.
They've used this as an accelerant. They politicized George Floyd's death, and they used that as an accelerant to get this country going.
We're talking with our Eye in the Northern Sky. Angelo Cerasi. I'm giving you a big plug here, Angelo. Hang on just one second. He's the brother of Andrew, the master barber, who we have on a regular basis as well. Go ahead, Angelo. You were going to say something there.
I mean, I could be wrong, but, you know, I've just seen so much of the similarity of what's happening in this country. The Black Lives Matter. If Black Lives really matter, what about all the abortions that happen? Right? They should be protesting with abortions, all these people being killed. If Black Lives really mattered, or if everything that they say that they want, you know, they're just destroying this country. It's like they want to change this country and take it over. They want to defund the police. They've used the police as a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my nephew, he's been a state trooper. He's only got a couple more years. He gets his 20 years in. He's totally disgusted with what's happening. I mean, but you see what's happening. I was watching that program on TV the other day, and I could just see the similarities of how they were getting, you know, the way the economy was going. Everybody, you know, the stock market was falling, and everybody has been on edge. And they have used this to politicize their goals.
Mm-hmm.
Their goal is not to change Black lives. They're just using that. Their goal is to take over this country, Antifa. They took over 6 blocks in Seattle, correct?
Yes.
And they put up borders, right? Aren't they the first ones to say that when President Trump wanted to have borders, that it was racist, that he's a racist? but yet they're putting up borders.
That's true.
You know, and then they talk about armed guards, that the police, they want to defund the police, but yet they got their own police action, right?
Yes.
That's what Hitler did in Germany.
Yes.
It was brown
stormtroopers and brown shirts.
The stormtroopers, yeah. They were taking over the areas in Germany.
Mm-hmm. There is no question. And then they were burning the books.
Right.
And now we've got certain things, and if you dare say it, dare say them, you're gone.
Right.
For instance, well, you've talked about this before. If you dare say all lives matter, there was a sportscaster in, I think it was with the Sacramento Kings basketball team, who responded to somebody asking him, do you think black lives matter? He said, well, I think all lives matter. They suspended him from his play-by-play announcing, and he had been there for like 31 years. They suspended him for saying all lives matter, believe it or not. And I think he eventually quit. But where are we going? Where all of a sudden the thought police and speech police can do away with your careers.
Right.
If you dare say something that makes sense. And speaking about free speech, you would think that universities, colleges, would be an area where ideas on opposite sides are allowed to be discussed. But that is not the case anymore. You cannot discuss certain things unless you have the right, you choose the right side. Otherwise, they ban you or they shout you down.
Right. That's right. And one thing, my nephew, and it stuck in my mind, my nephew goes to me yesterday, says, Uncle Angie, goes, when is enough enough? When are people going to stop this? When are the people going to stop? When are the people who believe like we do going to stop this?
Well, they feel frustrated, I think, and many of them are waiting for November and will voice their opinion, as they should, with their vote. I tend to think that when people look at statues being toppled and cities being taken over and blocks in cities being, burning down police precincts and getting rid of the police, I think most people are looking at that and they're getting angry, like me. I'm getting angry at it. And I'm waiting for that chance to vote. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be very surprised on the left.
I mean, because when you start, I mean, they're taking away our country. They are taking away our country, what we have stood for as a nation and everything else. They're destroying our history as we know,
right,
what we grew up with. This is America, and they're totally, totally destroying it.
Yeah.
From within.
I mean, when you start taking down Ulysses Grant. he was the general that led the North against the South. They're taking him down because apparently at some point he made the mistake of coming in contact with a slave who he later
freed.
They got to take him down too. And what about Teddy Roosevelt?
What did he do?
Yeah, did you know that he's coming down in front of the New York Museum of
History? Yes,
museum. They're bringing him down.
What about the saint statue that they took down in San Francisco, Saint Junipero Sierra?
Yeah, that's another one, Junipero Sierra or Sarah Junipero Sarah.
What did he do?
Well, he had the nerve of being a priest that was trying to save the souls of indigenous people in California. I believe that was it.
I mean, these people, they're riling the people up. They're using everything they can to rile our people up. And these people have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. There's no question about it.
I mean, can you see the similarities between Nazism and
what's
happening here in this country?
Yes. Yes, when you shout down people's right to free speech, when you take control take control of portions of the city with your own stormtroopers?
I saw a thing on TV last night. Was the Twilight Zone from the 1960s.
We're living in it.
We are living in it. And it had to do with this person who was like a Nazi, an American Nazi. And the ghost figure was Adolf Hitler. And he was guiding this guy how to take over the country. And he was guiding how you got to get the people on your side. You soft talk them, you do this, you do that. And you start utilizing things where you use it as a scapegoat and you get the people all riled up and you get them to your side. And I told my wife, I says, doesn't it sound like what's happening today in our country?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and of course, you know, back then, in the 30s, when he came to power, I think it, like you may have said, or
1933.
In 1933, he was the chancellor, and he was coming right during the height of the Depression.
There was a lot of resentment
across the world, but there was a lot of resentment with those people that had anything to do with money and banking and money lending. So it was very easy for Hitler to come along and rise up the anger and envy and jealousy. Of course, he pointed at the Jews as being responsible for the Depression. It was nonsensical.
Right. There was just.
And but he was able to get those people because he would, you know, jump on something that was a visceral, which would evoke a visceral reaction. And remember that after World War One, Germany was down. They owed money, reparation money, and then there came the Depression. So there was a lot of anger and hostility boiling up in these German people, and they were looking for somebody, you know, that would give voice to the hate that they seemed to have in their hearts. And Hitler took advantage of it, right?
Took advantage of the situation. And this is exactly what Antifa and Black Lives Matter is doing. I mean, when they put George Floyd's funeral on all three major networks during the day, his funeral, right?
Right.
You have a speaker like... what's his name?
Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton, riling the people up, going after the president of the United States. This, that was just terrible. And the networks are to blame for this.
Mm-hmm.
The networks are just as much to blame as the Democratic Party. I understand it's a, you know, this whole thing is a political season, is what we're in, and they are taking advantage of this political season that we are in.
Right.
To destroy this country from within. So it's like the perfect storm coming together.
Yeah. Well, my friend, it is always a pleasure to talk with you every Monday. I thank you so very much, Angelo, for calling in.
Always my pleasure.
Yeah, keep the faith, and we'll talk with you again next Monday.
Sounds good to me.
All right, sir.
Take care.
All right, thank you. Angelo from Rochester, the eye in the northern sky for us. Okay, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about John Roberts. Where's he going with his philosophy? And also the top 10 richest country singers of all time.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop,
in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for listening in. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. Say, Ed, I'm going to wake Ed up, my buddy. Did you get a chance to watch any of the... rally in Tulsa with President Trump on Saturday night?
No.
Okay, well, that takes care of that discussion. I wanted to see what you thought about it. You've heard some things that have gone on since then about it. Any thought? I guess, you know, there was it wasn't packed because I think a lot of people were genuinely, you know, concerned about the virus situation. But he gave a very wingding of a speech. I was able to listen to some of it.
Well, I know that some of the local Pravda and some other news organizations said there was some rather quite a few empty seats. Then I heard
yes, there were.
That there's certain organizations like TikTok and another one, which is a social website or social.
Yeah, we're discouraging people from attending.
They were not buying the tickets, but reserving up tickets and not showing up.
Now, that seemed to have been debunked, and even the White House itself.
So I don't even know.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
Whatever.
No, it's all right. I think that people were genuinely concerned about the virus, and, you know, it's an indoor stadium. I was hoping originally that Trump and the group would want to do it in an outdoor stadium where I think you have a little bit less chance. You know how it is with that
stupid virus. Yeah, but it was also 90 degrees outside, you know, people passing out.
That's true. Well.
So I don't.
I mean, they could have had, well, in the summer we watch baseball and they're playing in the kind of temperature. But anyway, I want to get to the, before we get, only got a minute or so, but Chief Justice John Roberts under the microscope as the Supreme Court is going to issue its first major ruling on abortion rights in the Trump era. Now, the tie-breaking vote on this may rest with Roberts. He joined narrow majorities last week to extend civil rights protection to gay and transgenders and block the Trump's plan to end a deportation shield for young undocumented immigrants. So people are starting to worry a little bit about John Roberts. One ruling in particular that John Roberts had that may give an indication of what he may do on this abortion rights, a 2016 decision in Whole Woman's Health versus Hellerstedt, the court ruled 5-3 to strike down a Texas law requiring doctors performing abortions to be authorized to admit patients at a nearby hospital. Roberts dissented on technical grounds from the majority, which said that the Texas law was unconstitutional because of its burden on a woman's right to abortion. So in other words, he ruled basically in favor of people that were against abortion. Now, what he's going to do in this case will be very interesting to see. Okay, Ed, time for you to get on the drums. We have an interesting one. This is the top 10 richest country music singers of all time. I want to see if Ed has any clue at the end. So here we go. Number 10, Luke Bryan. Luke Bryan, you know him, Ed?
He's heard of him, yeah.
Estimated net worth, $140 million. Got to move quickly. Number 9, Chris Christopherson. I know him.
Actor?
Yeah, estimated net worth $160 million. Number eight. Kenny Chesney, $190 million. Wow. Number seven. The late, great Kenny Rogers. Did you know he was worth $250 million? He had all those restaurants, too.
Mm.
Yeah. Number six. George Strait. Oh, yeah. Estimated net worth $300 million. Pretty good. Number five. Now, I haven't heard recently much about this guy, but I'm sure he's still singing. Garth Brooks.
Actually, I thought that was going to be number one. Yeah, he took a sabbatical there and he's come back. And
has he been back?
Yeah, he's starting to play again, yeah.
Yeah, I've always kind of liked him. What was his big hit? We had one that was really big for a while.
He had so many of them.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay, where are we here? Number four. Now, I'm not surprised she's on here, Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
She's estimated at $360 million. Was she originally on one of those America's Got Talent?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that where she came from?
I think American Idol, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep. That's amazing. She's got to be the biggest success story of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
She's just fabulously popular these days. Number three, Toby Keith.
Okay.
You know him, right? He's worth $365 million. He's known for songs like I Love This Bar, Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, and Should Have Been a Cowboy. Okay. Number two, Shania Twain. You know her?
Mm-hmm.
Estimated net worth $400 million. You know, it's funny. She grew up in Canada, and apparently they suffered from poverty there. But she certainly broke out of that situation. Okay, Ed, here we go. Who do you think is the number one richest country music singer of all time?
I'm going to say because she's been around so long and has other entities, I'm going to say somebody like Dolly Parton.
Okay, roll the drum. You are right.
Well.
Now, you didn't take a peek.
No.
You,
how can I take a peek?
Okay, you didn't take a peek. Okay.
How can I take a peek?
Well, you're right. Her estimated net worth is $500 million.
She got that Dollywood and...
Yes, exactly. Exactly. She says, I'm just a working girl. I never think of myself as a star because, as somebody once said, a star is nothing but a big ball of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be that. But you're right. She's not only a singer, she's a songwriter. Mm-hmm. She has a theme park. She's done movies. She's done TV. All of it
and
helps.
And the duets that she's done with so many people, too.
Yes.
You know, like Kenny Rogers
exactly.
And all that stuff. So,
yes. I think Merle Haggard for a while.
Yeah.
People like that.
She did TV for a long time.
Yeah.
The Dolly Parton special, whatever it was.
Yeah. She was and is very interesting.
She wasn't bad to look at either.
No,
still isn't.
And she still is with all that surgery going on. Anyway, thanks for listening to us. We'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday. Remember, freedom works.
You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. Honey, sugar, sugar. Of loving you. I just can't believe it's true.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Talladega News. Phase 2 begins. I'm Mike Moss. NASCAR's rain-delayed Talladega, Alabama race.